Welcome to the Decent Crypto Podcast. Today is December 30th. Year's almost over. It's time for our annual tradition. Matt, it's prediction time. How are we feeling?
It's prediction season. Gosh, I gotta say, I have seen some horrendously bad takes on the timeline with everybody submitting their crypto narratives for the year. I didn't even read the Messari report this year. I don't know about you.
Same. Read it every year the last like 4 or 5 years, and this year I was like, honestly, it's probably the same as everything that I see on Twitter, so I'm good.
Yeah, I thought last year's were pretty bad. I thought the year before was extremely bad. I actually muted Ryan Selkis. This is my number one pro tip for Twitter. Mute Ryan Selkis. Like, why? You don't need him in your life. Like, he's just like rage posting at Elizabeth Warren. He's like, trying to fill you with like anger. I can't carry that energy. It's true. The new year.
It's true. The best thing about Messari is their analysts, and the analysts that like contribute to the annual report with their predictions. Like, I actually got a lot of value out of those the last couple of years. Like, people were super early on Luna, like, you know, RIP, but like super early when it was like 50 cents, they were talking about it. And a lot of those analysts have already left and like started their own funds and doing, you know, whatever else. And so, yeah, no reason to check it out anymore. But that's not why we're here. We're here to talk about our horrible predictions for next year. First, should we give the people our horrible predictions from last year?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, they're so bad.
This is how seriously you should take our opinions. So these are our predictions. I don't remember whose were whose. The one I do remember is I said Solana is going to $1. That didn't happen. in my defense, I did say it'll go to $1 and then go to $100. We're already at $100, but didn't see that dip. next prediction: Bitcoin below 10K. Bitcoin it tried its hardest, but did not go below 10K.
Yeah, we had a buy wall. Buy wall for Satoshi.
Yeah. Yeah, buy wall, what, 15K? DCG liquidates GBTC. hasn't happened yet. AVAX to $4. That was probably the closest one. That's your prediction.
Yeah, it got to like 9 something.
Oh, 9, that's it? Oh, okay.
Maybe lower.
I don't know. Yeah, I feel like I remember
we'll pull it up.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll pull it up. BSC gets a blue chip NFT collection. If they have one, I don't remember it. Anyone who can launch a token will launch a token. That was mine.
Anyone can launch an L2.
Yeah. Wasn't that a different one?
That was a different one, yeah.
Yeah. Mine was anyone who can launch a token will launch a token. Actually, now that I think about it, kind of close, like with Frentech and like all these meme coins and like Polycoin and like Bitlord coin and all this bullshit. But
not bad, actually.
Whatever. Yeah. Not too bad. Everyone tries and fails to launch their own chain. That was yours. I think that is quite spot on. Like, you look at like Base and so many other random chains that have launched and have zero users, some of which are pumping, but still have basically zero users. I like that one. That's pretty good. Synthetics gets exploited.
Thank God.
I don't think they got exploited. Yeah, exactly. and then finally, the flippening. Yeah, not this year.
I mean, that was definitely mine, and that could not have been further from what happened. I mean, my God. If there was an inverse flippening, we fucking saw it. Oh my God.
Yeah. Well, what's crazy is like we did this podcast episode like basically exactly a year ago, and then like, I don't know, a week later, like right at the beginning of January, the Ordinals protocol came out. And just completely changed everything for Bitcoin. And there was just a massive Bitcoin run for like the next 6 months. And yeah, I mean, still kind of going on. Like Bitcoin dominance is at, I don't know how high it is right now, but this was the one chart I used to look at every day for the last cycle.
Yeah, I remember joking around about having training be open with like three charts. It's Bitcoin dominance, Bitcoin dominance, and Bitcoin dominance.
Yeah, the good old days. Yeah. But yeah, now the new flippening is Solana flippening ETH. So we have that to look forward to next year, which will probably be completely wrong. ETH will probably just gigas in to 10K and Solana is just going to be at $100.
Yeah, man. ETH season, it lasted a full 12 hours already.
Yeah. Yeah. ETH is the new Atom. Anytime ETH pumps, you sell everything. Yeah, ETH is the new Atom and Lido is the new Chainlink. You see anything around those things pump and you just exit all markets. All right, so those are our predictions last year. We went maybe like 2 of 10 at best.
Not bad.
Yeah.
Look, if you get more than 1 of 10, I don't think you're trying hard enough.
Yeah, it's true. It's the same concept as if you're not getting rugged at least 5 times a week, you'll never find the next Pepe. Same thing here. You know, if you don't miss 90% of your predictions, you won't hit the one that takes you to the promised land. you'll never be left curve enough to ape into Bonk and Dog with Hat. So, you know, that's just got to keep those things in mind.
The dog has a hat.
the hat is still on the dog, as far as I know.
Check. you wanna jump into this year's predictions?
Yeah, let's go into this year's predictions. The way we're gonna do it, we have 5 predictions each. We'll start from number 5, whatever. These are arbitrary, but maybe number 5, like. Least spicy to number 1 most spicy. We'll go back and forth. But before we get into it, we have a couple honorable mentions here. Why don't you go first?
So my honorable mention here is Celestia. I think Celestia 200 is programmed. I think if we're trying to trade the cycle, that has to be your benchmark. Celestia is a meme coin. Let's get it straight. Okay, so there's no usage of the protocol, right? And it doesn't matter. I think people get a little bit carried away with fundamentals, and what matters is the pumpamentals. Okay, so Celestia, yeah. Let's take a look at the tokenomics, right? It's like super low float relative to FDV. Mm-hmm. Like it's Cosmos-like in that like you stake to get like 20% APY or something. And so it's not even really that much that's going to get unlocked, right? It's going to take a while for these tokens to become liquid. Anybody that wants to have a play in modular and monolithic chains, on the monolithic side, they're basically going to buy Sol. And if they're like mid curve enough, probably like Aptos and Sui, and maybe Say, maybe that's the right curve one. And so that's the monolithic side of the bet. And on the modular side, what do you buy? I think you buy Celestia. Mm. I think that's it. Are you going to buy ETH? No. Are you going to buy Optimism? Maybe. Are you going to buy Arbitrum? No. Are you going to buy Polygon? Maybe. Are you going to buy Celestia? Yeah, absolutely. Celestia is a meme coin. It is the modular meme coin. Just buy it, stake it.
I love the take. Yeah. The other thing that's underrated here is that there are a ton of chains that are going to launch like around this kind of modular thesis, whether they're Cosmos based chains or whether they're L2s, and they're basically all going to use Celestia, or they're going to say they're all going to use Celestia for data availability. The kind of end result of this is that they will all airdrop their token to Celestia stakers, to TS stakers. And that's just going to encourage people to, just stay staked, not move, and just mad FOMO effect. So, Celestia 200. I mean, honestly, why so bearish?
Exactly. It's programmed.
Yeah, it's programmed. Right.
What's your honorable mention?
Honorable mention. I'm kind of in the same vein, but Kujira. Most people, like, basically nobody's talking about it right now. They are a algo stablecoin protocol. They actually launched on Terra a few years ago, and they were building like a liquidation engine, like to basically kind of work, or like to basically like partner with, like work with the Luna token and with UST. And like basically lets you like kind of buy liquidations that happen and almost like support like a repeg in a certain sense. They always had to scrap everything, like move away from Terra ecosystem. And now they just built their own chain that's Cosmos based. They have their own, like they ended up building their own algo stable, USK. And it's one of the fastest growing L1s this year, actually, by like TVL and by users, which, you know, doesn't mean that much because they're all, most of them are just not seeing any traction. But yeah, I think they this catches the narrative Wait, next year.
I like that.
Yeah, they do. USK. and it's very interesting because they have this like liquidation engine. So it's like you basically see like revenues coming into the protocol from like different sources. And yeah, they're like, if you look at their revenue, it's like very strong versus the valuation right now. I think the market cap is like 400 million. So not even very big. I think this like GigaSends, like whenever the narrative catches on, whenever they get some, it's not even listed on any exchanges. Like it's very hard to buy. It took me quite a while to get it and stake it. Cosmos. And they're going to do a ton of airdrops because there's like 5 or 10 teams building on top of it. And I think this goes to like 5 or 10 billion, at least. Luna at the peak was 90 billion. I don't think it quite gets there, but, I think it goes pretty hard next year. So yeah, that's one of my honorable mentions.
We should do a deep dive.
Yeah, I'm down. We could easily get one of their, founders or, you know, core team members on. They engage with me on Twitter all the time because I'm one of the only people that talks about Kujira. Cool. All right, what do you have?
So I mean, are we still doing? I think
let's just close out this honorable mention section with meme coins.
I think that meme coins overall will see a larger market cap than RWAs throughout the entirety of the cycle.
Mm, yeah, fully agree. I think meme coins I think honestly, like all this like on-chain gaming, GameFi, I think it's basically just a nothing burger and everybody just ends up trading meme coins.
It's a fun game. Trading meme coins is a fun game. It's like gambling.
It's
you can watch the fucking chart in real time. It's like sports gambling, right? It's so good. I mean, we've been having so much fun, you and me and literally everyone I know, trading meme coins on Solana this last like month or two. It's a blast, man. It's like the greatest casino in the world. Meme coins are fucking awesome.
Yeah, it is the best casino in the world. It's also, I actually tweeted this, but I was like, this is a litmus test of how strong your ecosystem is. Like if you cannot pump a meme coin, like your ecosystem is just cooked. Just shows like you have no organic activity, you have no kind of culture ethos around your user base. Yeah, like you can't, like this is actually what has me super bullish on Say, is they had a couple meme coins just go super hard. There are a ton of people just like getting super into this. So I think like this is actually one of the biggest narratives of this cycle. We'll get into this later, but we have very differing opinions on NFTs, but like I think NFTs will never come back because meme coins are just too much fun. But we'll save that. And then the ultimate meme coin, the Solana Saga. I think these things get like very crazy as well. Like they're basically an NFT collection, right? There's 20,000 of them, limited supply, you can't get any more. And they're just sending you tons of airdrops. And so, yeah, I think we'll see Solana Saga phone sell for over 50K this year.
I like that. I agree. I'd strongly agree.
yeah.
Why so bearish? Should we hop into the 10 predictions?
Yeah, let's do it. All right. You want to kick us off?
Yeah. My least spicy one is that I think we will see the market cap of Solana DeFi projects eclipse the market cap of Ethereum DeFi projects, over the next year. I think, people have kind of learned a little. Market cap of the governance tokens, Jupiter market cap plus Gito market cap, greater than Lido plus Uni plus Aave plus whatever. And I think basically what we've seen is, all these tokens are inflationary, right? All these tokens are basically meme coins. Yeah. They only work in a bull market. Unfortunately, the bull market for the Ethereum projects is already over. There's nothing they can do about that, right? We've had a little bit of Ponzinomic innovation. We've seen VE tokens. We've seen we've seen you stake and you get airdrops for aligned projects. And I think that's especially true in the Solana ecosystem, that you wind up having a lot of devs just support each other. Look at the Saga phone, right? A lot of people are I'll give 5% supply to Saga phone holders. We'll give X percent supply to Bonk holders. Take a snapshot, do whatever, right? The community is smaller, it's tighter knit. And so you'll be able to do things like have people stake their Jupiter governance tokens to earn whatever. Solana also hasn't seen its season yet, right? And it's just getting started. And we're just starting to see airdrops for all of these major protocols. Everybody's looking at it as this is going to be, Solana is going to be the ETH of this cycle. I think the Solana DeFi projects will be the ETH DeFi projects of the cycle. And I think that ETH DeFi projects are just kind of fucked, right? They have been having to sell tokens forever. They got over their skis. They built stuff that nobody cared about, Aave with Lens, or at worst, Lens was super toxic. Let's take a second. Super fucking awful. This will just be a second. It's gatekeeping for what, right? Gatekeeping in a bear market is actually just are you out of your mind? are you what planet do you live on where it's okay to gatekeep your social network? Are you not trying to fucking grow? So Ethereum DeFi has lost the plot. Right. And at best, they just have to keep selling tokens so they can fund operations. And at worst, they've lost the plot. And Solana DeFi projects, they have their eyes on the prize. The builders are much more motivated. The space is much more focused on it. And the Ponzinomics have slightly improved to make governance tokens less useless than they were before. Solana DeFi will eclipse Ethereum DeFi in market cap of the protocols. Maybe not in TVL.
Yeah, I think that's very reasonable. The other thing to support that is that they've also learned a lot of lessons from what happened with, the tokenomics of these early DeFi projects, where they're basically reliant on selling supply, on selling team supply to keep their operations going. Where Jupiter, I mean, just from everything you read about, how the founders are looking at it and stuff like that, it's probably going to be more sustainable of a tokenomic model. I think lessons have been learned. I'm personally very excited for some of the DeFi stuff that happens. People really just have bear market PTSD, but you don't remember, most people don't remember how crazy DeFi stuff got last cycle. There were Ohm forks that were launching and going to 100 million to a billion market cap within days. I haven't seen any Ohm forks on Solana yet, so we're early.
Not yet.
I think that's reasonable. So in terms of numbers, where does that actual number need to get to? I think Uniswap is 5.9 billion right now. Market cap, Aave is 1.6. I don't know, Balancer.
Maker.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Maker bouncers $230 million.
I assume all of those double. So I think Solana probably gets to 20-30 billion in aggregate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would say like all of ETH DeFi, the tokens are probably valued at like maybe 10 billion. I could easily see that. Honestly, the targets people have for Jupiter are already at like 20 billion. So, all right. I like it. Okay. I am going to continue with my, honorable mention. NFTs, I think, are done. I don't think they ever come back. I think like people are just going to speculate on meme coins now. I think it's just a much more fun way to go about it. I think, when I was talking to some of my like normie friends, or even still talk to, you know, some of my normie friends, or talk to like even random people. Like I went to this meditation retreat, right? Talked to a lot of people. I was wearing my Kraken shirt and my FTX shirt, and like a bunch of people would come and talk to me about, you know, crypto and all this. People really just have a horrible taste in their mouth just by the word NFT. I think, I don't know what it is exactly, whether it's like all these like celebrity endorsements, like Bored Apes and all this, or just a ton of people losing money, or maybe Kevin Rose and Moonbirds. Like I have no idea what the issue is. I guess I kind of know what the issue is, but people just hate this stuff. I don't know. I think it's just going to get replaced by meme coins. Like people have a very inherent desire to gamble and speculate. And there are like structural reasons for this also. Like when you look at like how fucked young people are just in general across the whole world, basically like gambling their way out of, financial hardships, I guess. This is like the only solution people have come to, but I think it's going to be all meme coins this cycle. Same as it ever was, right? Like I wasn't really around for the 2011 to 2013 cycle, but during that time it was basically all these like weird shit coins, random shit coins that just like would come up, like random Bitcoin forks, like Bitcoin Unlimited, Bitcoin Gold, all this stuff. Then like when we first got into crypto 2016-17, it was all ICOs because Ethereum had been created. And then next cycle is, you know, 2020-2021, it was all NFTs. And now it's just the next stage, which I think will be meme coins. That's my spicy take, or my least spicy take, I guess. But I think NFTs are just going to be a very niche part of crypto now. I think it'll be stuff like you get an NFT in your Saga phone that gives you access to, you know, different airdrops and different things like that. Like I'm rocking a Tensorian as my PFP, but I bought it because I know there's an airdrop coming, and I know that other people know that there's an airdrop coming, and other people are going to FOMO into it as the airdrop gets closer. And so... yeah, I mean, it's like, I think they'll be like utility based and like, you know, these kinds of things. But as a speculative vehicle, I think we're moving into the new and innovative field of meme coins.
I mean, you're right. It's not very spicy. The only thing less spicy than this take is the when people say this, they usually say the next thing, which is not as a technology. NFTs are immensely useful. They can represent all sorts of things. That's like the next logical step in the
ticketing, bro.
Yeah, ticketing, soulbound NFTs.
Soulbound NFTs.
My pushback would be that I think that it's easier to flex an NFT than a PFP, and I think going back to just like how fucked like the youth of America is right now, basically all of social media is people like flexing on each other making each other feel insecure, right? And I think that like the PFP culture is still very strong. I think that like whether it's like streetwear or whatever, you know, nice cars or whatever, like the flex culture is still very strong, watches. And I think that like that's not dead. And I think that last time, everybody just assumed it was like a flash in the pan, kind of like speculative bubble thing, partially because of like the timing, right? Partially because it was. And I think if they start to show signs of coming back, I think they will come back harder. So I guess this leads me into my next prediction.
Yeah.
At least one PFP project gets bigger than Bored Apes were at the Pico top of last cycle. So apes were going for what, 400K? I think we will see over the next year, one collection get bigger, get to a higher floor price than that. Like one with like volume and shit, like a real, you know, a real collection. I think it'll probably
be on Ethereum. Okay, yeah, that's my follow-up. So interesting. On Solana,
it's the wealth effect. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like I'm already looking at Tensorians, right? So I made some money on Bonk, I made some money on Whiff, and I'm like, fuck it, I'll buy a few Tensorians. It's like as a percent of my portfolio, it's not as big as it used to be. It's a wealth effect, right? And before I would have been like, those are super expensive for like a non-Ethereum NFT. Now I'm like, yeah, I might as well do it on Solana. So
it does make sense. Okay, which one do you think? Mad Lads, Tensorians,
Quex.
Those are the only two like blue chip. Yeah, Quex, I guess. Yeah.
I mean, I think, I don't know. I don't know shit about Solana NFTs. I haven't started to research it. I don't think I'm going to be good at it. Which is why I haven't bought any, which is almost, you know, creating my own prophecy of not being good at it by not buying. I don't know. If I had to guess, it would be probably Mad Lads. I think just because Tensorians, I think right now are a little bit overheated because of the impending airdrop rumors or whatever. I think probably Mad Lads.
Yeah. I wonder what happens with Mad Lads, like once they also do, if they do an airdrop, which I'm assuming they will.
Probably.
Yeah. I would assume so. Cause like they're building all this stuff, right? They have like the backpack, they have, now they're building an exchange, they're building something else they're working on, but I would assume a token will be a part of that ecosystem. And
I mean, they have to do it like the apes did, but better. So like Yuga, when they airdropped everyone the potions to make their mutants, like the value of a Bored Ape went up. Right. Even though it was like dilutive to the aggregate number of pieces in the collection or in the brand. Yeah. Right. That was a timing.
But thing,
I think for the most part,
timing like thing. And they were the first to ever do that. Like they were the first to basically reward their collectors with more like value. More
pieces.
The thing is, if you look at ApeCoin, that was like the Pico top, I think.
I think they blundered that in a lot of ways. I think it was like at that point it had become just like too value extractive. But yeah, it had other problems too.
Okay.
Cool.
Okay. Interesting. I could see Mad Lads for sure. Like just if you even look at the floor price now, it's like 200 SOL or whatever, just somewhere in that region. You know, Solana keeps ripping, I would assume like these things just keep getting higher and higher. Like you said, wealth effects. Solana, you know, like these are not unreasonable targets. Solana to like 800, Mad Lads to like 500 SOL. That's 400K.
It's not that crazy. I think Mad Lads, maybe they're the punks of Solana, and then something else comes in and rips higher as like the apes of Solana.
Interesting. Okay, let's see which one is my least spicy now. Okay, all right, let's just stay on Solana. I think Solana, already mentioned Solana ETH flipping. I don't think it happens this year, but I think it gets very, very close. I think like within 10% of Ethereum's market cap. I mean, I've personally been bearish Ethereum for basically this whole year. We did our Is Ethereum Dead episode like 6 months ago. Very proud of being early on that narrative. So yeah, I don't really see this whole like ETH to 10K thing. I think maybe like ETH to 5K, something like that. Even then, I think like Solana is just gonna rip so hard this year. There's just so much happening, and it's just like, I don't know, like just as a user, you know, you just never feel like going back. So
yeah,
I think that
I couldn't fucking
get it. Exactly, right? Exactly. It took me like one transaction and I was like, are you kidding me? Like what? And then it took me another transaction where I wanted to bridge. I was like, what? It takes me like $25 to get off. You call it God's chain, but I think basically everything is going to happen on Solana this cycle. Solana and Cosmos, honestly, like I think there's going to be a big Cosmos resurgence. I think like if this modular stack kind of like narrative picks up, I think people will point to Cosmos and be like, these guys had the vision from before Ethereum was even a thing. And they've been building it forever. And now there's a lot of valuable apps on there, valuable in terms of FTV, not valuable in terms of users. But, I think that actually catches more of a narrative than ETH and all of its L2s, just because of how early they are and how like clunky they are, and how like, frankly, centralized they are. Not that anybody cares, but it's just harder to pick up a narrative. That's number four.
Yeah. I mean, I completely agree. I think L2s have completely lost the plot, right? Just 100%.
Yeah. When Vitalik says they've lost the plot, that is a very, very bearish signal.
I think you can see the beginnings of L2 ecosystems, which become better, you know, more decentralized, right? So Arbitrum has Arbitrum Orbit. That's not better because it's fucking L3s. Optimism has a superchain, which is not better because it's a shared sequencer. I genuinely think that the Polygon ecosystem is the best like comprehensive like ecosystem plan for L2s, but it's a while out, right? And in the meantime, Sol is great, right? Yeah. My one thing is that Cosmos is tough because the user experience is just so much worse, right? Like it's not enough to have low fees, right? So Sol is great because it's got low fees, but it also doesn't have this like fragmentation of attention, right? And it's fragmentation of liquidity, but it's also fragmentation of attention that really kills L2s and Cosmos chains. Whereas like you, in Cosmos, you might know someone who's really into Kujira, but they don't know anything about like Celestia, right? Or DYDX or Noble or whatever. I just think that like the mindshare fragmentation is a little bit hard in Cosmos world. And if you look at the centralized exchange listings, this is the hard part to imagine, like, you know, big bullish, like you were talking about Kujira not being listed on centralized exchanges. When Coinbase started to list things like Near, Aurora, last cycle, that was like, it was like too little too late. It was like the retail's not interested really in a token that they don't understand. That's why meme coins do so well, because retail can look at it and instantly be like, I know what it does and I like that. Same thing with Solana, right? Whereas with like Kujira, it's going to be tough. So I don't know. But overall, I completely agree. It's a great call. Ethereum's dead. And at least until ETH season starts.
I feel like we should clarify this, or at least I feel the need to clarify this. I actually do think ETH will do well as an asset. Decently well, like it would probably double at least next year. But I just don't see why people would use the chain. I have been asking this to every group chat.
It's a B2B chain now.
yeah.
You never mentioned Ethereum.
That is, yeah, that's one of the most ridiculous things I've seen.
Oh, so cringe. Yeah. I think it'll go to 9. I think it'll touch 9K and that'll be the wow. peak of the top, and that's when you sell everything.
Wow. Damn,
the way it didn't quite
bullish.
Get to 5 last cycle, it will not quite get to 10 this cycle.
Mm.
Like, once it starts to look close, once it gets like 8,600, take some risk off.
Damn, I don't think it gets anywhere near there.
Yeah, interesting. You think it peaks out at like 5?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, like, in my heart of hearts, I think there's like a 15% probability ETH doesn't make all-time highs for like another 3 years.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I just think that's too unrealistic if there's an actual like full-fledged bull market where if Bitcoin hits all-time high and Solana is going to 500 or whatever, then it kind of just seems unrealistic that ETH wouldn't go to at least 6-7K or whatever.
It becomes categorized more as a meme coin.
Yeah. And like, honestly, I think we're just still early in the cycle where most normal, like just people with money are not really thinking about crypto. And when they do start thinking about crypto and they see like, oh, Bitcoin ETF approved, ETH ETF is coming. Like, I know this name Ethereum from the last 5 years, like, what is this Solano bullshit? You know, like, fuck that. Like, I'll just buy some Ethereum. Yeah. I think that will happen. There will be a parabolic move. I just still don't have an answer to the question, like, why is anybody going to use the chain? Which I guess there's just no answer. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have one for Bitcoin for a while, so.
Yeah. I mean, that is true.
All right, moving on.
I guess that's the narrative. Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Wait, is it your turn or my turn?
I think it's my turn. You did. So Sol gets within 10% of ETH market cap at the peak. Mm-hmm. I think that's spicier. I wouldn't have said 10%. I would have said a little further, but that's cool. I like that. Okay, my next least spicy one. Now we're starting to get spicy here. So grab your milk. okay. I think Maker will shut down everything it's doing with RWAs completely because I think on-chain yields will be so much higher than off-chain yields that it no longer makes sense for them to keep doing that. And so I think Maker was the early mover and they put a lot of cash like off-chain to invest in T-bills via Coinbase or, you know, all sorts of other stuff through like big TradFi like entities. I think it's like a bear market narrative. I think CMS tweeted like when, I think it was like the day after the like, remember right when the CoinDesk intern, or was it Cointelegraph, like posted the fake news about the ETF approval.
The fake ETF, yeah.
And then the next day, Bitcoin pumped. CMS said, RIP real world assets, July through October, 2023. like, fuck up, man. Like, first, I've always had an issue with this phrase. My on-chain assets are very much realer to me than anything that I hold in a brokerage account. I think like that in and of itself, like reflects the perspective biases of people that are like fans of RWAs as a narrative. Like you have to remember that these are not people that are here because they love crypto. They're here for all sorts of other reasons. Right. They don't consider it the real world. Right. So fuck them. RWAs totally out. Maker is going to be like that will be like, if you had to think of like a capitulation point on real world assets, I think Maker exiting real world assets would be like probably the loudest thing. So that's my thought. I think on-chain yields get back to standard risk-free rate of 15-20%, because everything's on leverage. And I think we never hear about RWAs again until the next bear. Mm. And then I think they rip. I think they'll be huge next bear because the institutional landscape will be like so much better than it ever has been. But I think they're done for now.
So you're not bearish on RWAs in general, you're just bearish for now?
I mean, I'm bearish in the sense of like, how do I make money off of them? Do I, like, buy BlackRock stock? Do I buy Maker tokens? If it's not going to pump, like, the pump is the product, right? So like, they'll never be actually genuinely interesting to me. But I think they'll only start to see product market fit next bear. And then success, however you define that, whichever boomer winds up like slurping up the yields and dumping on retail, that will be like, that'll happen next cycle.
Yeah, I basically agree completely. I think the only cool RWA-like product I've seen is Parcel, which is also on Solana. But basically, it's not even actually RWAs. It's basically a prediction market on
perps,
real estate prices. Yeah, it's basically perps on real estate prices around the world, or just like really only like four or five cities right now. But like
that's super cool.
And it's super cool. And the thing is, it's actually like exposing me to new asset classes that I was like would never really pay attention to. Like I was looking at it and I was like, wow, like just in December, the Austin housing market is down like 10%. I was like, that just doesn't seem normal. Like if you look at like the chart that they have on Parcel, it's like literally just dropping off a cliff. I was like, whoa, this is super interesting. Like why is this happening? And then I started looking into it more. That is super cool. But like I've always felt that the actual like RWA narrative, it never really made sense, because it's like, what are you going to like, how are you going to put a T-bill on chain, right? You basically have a prediction market that is going to track the price, and you know, you can speculate on that. And like, honestly, perps, like perp based prediction markets for real world prices, that's the solution. And it's perfect. Like that's why the blockchain exists. Like you can speculate on stuff that you couldn't otherwise, but I think it's pretty far away. Like you mentioned, didn't stop me from sweeping some Parcel plots for the airdrop and farming on the protocol. But dude, I think like honestly, everybody should just stop what they're doing and just farm airdrops all day. Like it's literally the most life changing thing in the world. Like you can literally make more than your annual salary just doing that. Yeah, that's a side note, but
and I mean, we haven't even maybe hit that's full like bowl yet, right? Like,
dude, we've gotten like one airdrop, or I've gotten like one airdrop, and I was like, holy fuck, this is actually life changing. it's like a whole. That's like another honorable mention. I think airdrop farming goes to like a whole different level next year from just how much money people are gonna make. That's maybe like half the conversation in the group chats that I'm in. It's just like, what are you farming now? Like, let me deposit some ETH into Manta. Like, let me, you know, like, it's just like all these protocols that people have never even heard of. But yeah, do it for the airdrop. Gito, man.
For the airdrop.
bless the Gito gods. okay. So, let's see, which one do I want to do next? All right, we're talking about like TradFi, real world assets. This has been one of my biggest positions all year, and it's going to continue to be, but Coinbase stock, I think, is just so primed. Like this is really the definition of, I wouldn't call it regulatory capture, but I don't know what you would call it when all of your competitors get wiped out by themselves and by regulators. Like Binance US has literally been regulated away. FTX US collapsed, FTX itself collapsed. And basically no other exchange does any volume in America. Like Kraken is doing like, I don't know, 5% of the volumes is Coinbase. And they've also opened up to like many different revenue streams, right? Like they have their institutional custody products. They actually have leverage trading now outside of the US. They have spot markets outside of the US. They have, base is kind of a joke, but that is a revenue stream that they can like pump really whenever they want. that can incentivize users to go on and just like, this is how from the little knowledge I have, a lot of these, you know, markets work in general where, you know, you have an earnings report coming out, you pump your revenue through things like incentivizing users to go on base, and you can kind of, you know, show the market that this is something that they can look forward to for the coming years. And they've just done a really good job, and there's just no other place to go for US like institutional user. And we are now entering the institutionalization of the space. We have, you know, ETFs coming across the board. They're all going to use Coinbase as their like primary custodian, and even like primary exchange. Like I don't think any other exchange has qualified custodian like licenses and things like that. So, and they're BlackRock's key partner. Like that's just one of the most like bullish narratives you can have going into ETF year. So. I think Coinbase has like, and also they have the best ticker. Like, it's cannot underrate a good ticker. I think there's also a chance that it gets like a really crazy, like almost like GameStop like squeeze. I think there's like a real chance of that. If you look at, how heavily this stock is shorted, people are always hoping and like looking for this thing to just go down. And that kind of makes for a pretty strong squeeze. And then finally they have this whole, like basically like heavy, like battle going on with the SEC, and they're going to win for sure. And it kind of becomes like a shelling point, you know, it's like kind of like the face of the industry going against, you know, regulators. So, yeah, my hot take. My hot take is that it gets close to the market cap of Visa this cycle. Visa is like a $500 billion company. Coinbase right now is like a $40 billion company, I want to say. Let me see actually exactly it's about where 41. It's at. $41 billion. Yeah, $41 billion. So about a 12x from here. I don't think it quite hits, but I think it gets pretty damn close. That would put Coinbase at like $2,000 a share, which if that happens, you'll definitely never see me again. But I don't think it'll quite get there, actually. It probably gets to like 1,000, and then it tops out. But I think that becomes like a pretty
like
strong
a $300 billion market cap.
Yeah, yeah. I think that's
like a 7x, yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. I could really see
it
that.
It could happen, yeah. Why not?
Yeah.
Plus with short squeezes. Why not? Yeah.
yeah, exactly.
The big question is, will Coinbase flip Ethereum in per share price when it gets to 2000?
that I don't think will happen. But it is kind of wild that like Ethereum is a $500 billion protocol, and Coinbase, like I know these are not like comps at all, but like Coinbase being the company in the industry is still like a $40 billion company. It's just like, it's just a little weird.
Yeah, it's probably undervalued.
It seems undervalued to me. Yeah. Even though it's ripped like 3x in the last couple months, but you know.
Nice.
Never look at how hard something's pumped. Only look at how hard it can pump.
Yeah, the two worst words in the English language are already pumped.
Already pumped. yeah.
Yeah, I like that. I mean, I don't play with stocks anymore because I worked in stocks for too many years and I just don't enjoy them the same way that I enjoy tokens. But yeah, I mean, it seems like a very valid thesis.
I don't either. Let me be clear. I don't either. I only buy options on crypto stocks. That's the only exposure that I have.
I have a friend that was like, dude, I tried to buy Bonk, but I couldn't get my cash in from my brokerage account in time. And I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, man, I had to wire it into Coinbase. Wow. It took like 2 days. I was like, dude, just let me know. I have stables just like lying around, right? And I can like front you. And he was like, you don't keep any money in your stock, in like stocks or like crypto stocks or like a brokerage account? I'm like, of course not. Like, I don't actually feel like I own it, you know?
No, for sure. Yeah.
So, cool. All right. Coinbase close to Visa. I like that. All right. Going in order of, okay, I have two, what do I have? Two left.
Yeah, two left.
I guess I'll stay on the Coinbase topic. I believe over the next year, we will hit a point where as a space, we can come together and unambiguously declare Base a failure.
Yeah.
I'm talking Coinbase NFT level of like flop, right? Of just like, clearly that did not work. It was a nice idea, but we just didn't take a lot of factors into calculation. So here's the first issue is that broadly, I think that all L2s are fucked. Right. And you could look at this and say, Matt, Solana was also looking pretty fucked about a year ago. What's the difference? The difference is that Solana isn't like run by a company, right? It's like a lot of people who are just going to keep working on it, right? Like as long as they can afford to keep that thing running, they will. With L2s, it's much more centralized. Right. That's sort of the issue is like development's done by one person or entity or whatever. The sequencer is run by one entity. Maintenance of the chain, upgrades to the chain. Maybe there's a multi-sig, but that multi-sig is like basically the signatures belong to people that are chosen by one centralized party. It's just like it's super centralized, right? Which means that like there's no clear guarantee that thing's going to just keep working in the way that like decentralized tech operates. It's the way that Bitcoin is super resilient because the dev community actually has been super decentralized, right? Ethereum as well, right? Like it's all core devs calls with like an anointed like 50 people or whatever. But in practice, if they all got hit by a bus, like Ethereum development would still keep happening. And so I think that the same is not necessarily true of Coinbase. I think that it's like, it has the potential to fail in a way that decentralized projects don't, like Base in particular. I think Base has to compete for mindshare and liquidity and users, and it has to do that against a bunch of opponents that have tokens. And I just don't think we're ever going to see a Base token. First, because everybody has always said that. Right. Second, because of the regulatory risk. Right. Third, because what is the token even for? Right. If we're not going to decentralize the sequencer, and I believe we're not going to decentralize the Base sequencer because that's the whole business model. Right. If that's not going to happen, then there's no reason to have an L2 token. And you could say the same thing about Arbitrum and Optimism, but at least they're like they have the funds to pay developers to build good stuff, to provide liquidity mining incentives, to pump some stuff, to hype shit up, to create the core economic activity that's needed to see if an ecosystem is viable. And I think that Base is very much not because it doesn't have access to that token.
So how would you define that this will be an unequivocal failure? Because I mean, honestly, you can kind of say that it already is, but...
I'm saying it now, right? And a bunch of people would push back, and I'm saying it's going to get to the point where people would not. we'll all just agree that like there's just no provocation, like it's a failure.
Coinbase NFT is a good comp. because actually, I for the longest time I thought it was actually just shut down, but I think it still exists. Like you can go trade NFTs on it if you want, but I think they do like maybe one trade a day at most.
I mean, it's tough. The L2 space is very difficult. There's a ton of L2s coming out. There's a lot of money being raised. And I think, for example, if you're not doing blast style yield, like pass through, on the bridged assets, then like you're fucked, right? There's no way Coinbase will ever do that.
Yeah. Yeah, the narrative is always that Coinbase has the best onboarding mechanism for people to get on chain. My question was always, what are they going to do on chain? And again, this actually comes back to the original thesis, is like, if they can get a meme coin to pump and they can send a meme coin to 100 million, then I think Base is revitalized, you know? There is some meme coin that actually did well, right? Like Toshi or something like that. It's Brian Armstrong's cat.
That's funny.
Somebody was mentioning to me like a week or two ago that it was pumping again. I think they did get it to like 40 or 50 million. But I don't know a single person that's using Base.
And it's like, and it's just as easy to on-ramp USDC to Solana as it is to Base. And it's just as easy to on-ramp Sol to Solana as it is ETH to Base. And look, don't get me wrong. Like, the Coinbase wallet bridge is by far the best bridging experience I've ever had, between Base and ETH L1. but they have to compete with just like so much. And so the mid curve take is Coinbase has a ton of users, right? Well, that was also the mid curve take on NFTs, right? The next mid curve take is, well, Coinbase has everybody's KYC information, so now you can have a Fed chain. And that's like mid curve as hell, right? Like, who's going to make money off a Fed chain? And they even launched this like really interesting product, which is like a Coinbase attested like attestation thing on Base. Where you can like get an NFT that shows that your wallet belongs to someone who, say, resides in the US or whatever, right? And they'll attest to that. But like, what's the use case for that, right? Like, I just feel like you got to move fast in this space. And like, anybody that's building an app that can only be accessed by US users, like, they're not thinking the right way in terms of user acquisition. And so
weirdly, actually, like, FedChain and RWAs are like the only thing I can think of. But again, like, I don't think that's a this cycle like narrative or even like use case, you know?
I mean, if you think about boomer institutions, they're still, they have so many safety guards in place. Think about Franklin Templeton, right? You want to buy their yield-bearing stablecoin. Well, you don't get the private keys. You can't send it to anyone, even if that other wallet is also KYC'd. In fact, you can't do anything with it other than buy and sell it. And you have to do it in the app, and like, you have to KYC in order to use the app. So they're already handling, like, they can't legally probably get comfortable with using, say, Coinbase provided KYC information, right? And so if it's going to be like successful in that space, you know, it doesn't really matter whether Coinbase is going to provide attestation or not. Like, you're still going to have to KYC again. And why would you KYC? If you have to KYC to buy a fucking T-bill, why would you go on chain to do that?
Yeah, very true. Very true. Yeah, I would. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter to them, like, Base failing as a company. It would just be so, I don't know. I feel like they just have something there, right? Like, if they played around enough, or if they had like an actual community that was building, I think they could figure it out. But again, like, that, to your point, they don't have a community. They have like six engineers or whatever. And the guy leading the project doesn't really seem that sharp.
I mean, the on-chain summer thing was super cringe, right? Like, that's not that was not an organic community-driven thing.
Oh yeah, no, that was terrible. I really think they have to lean into this, like, this Fed chain idea, because honestly, like, actually, like, an on-chain KYC, like, the thing is, like, most of these companies use the same like two KYC providers. There's really only like two or three. And like, having some, like, like, if they worked out some kind of attestation, if they built like the right partnerships with all these institutions, and they could basically like use Base as, I don't know, some kind of, I don't even know what they would actually, like, what the use case would be, but they kind of have all the pieces, right? Like, they are in bed with all of the institutions. They have everybody's KYC information. Like, you can see the pieces. I just don't think they'll figure it out. Um, Yeah, I think you're muted.
I was gonna say, like, maybe Avalanche could do it, right? If the people running Avalanche, right, could like have base, then, or if they were in charge of base, it would maybe be successful. Mm-hmm. Polygon's doing a good job here too, and there's a bunch of stuff in the pipes that I can't talk about yet, but the problem is, like, everybody at Coinbase is like, you know, the vibe, or at least the main dude, is just like a little bit like too crypto native to just like sell out and make it a Fed chain.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. My second spiciest take, I think Say hits $50 billion in market cap, not even FTV market cap, this cycle, which is like about a 50X from here. Probably too high, but, you know, that's why we're here giving spicy takes. I think just in the few, like, less than 2 months it's been out, it's getting more usage than basically any other chain that has come out, or like any other chain in the first couple of months that I've ever seen, really. Like Base, when it came out, it had maybe like 4 days of tons of usage, and then just slowly just started to die out. But like Say is, it just keeps picking up steam. Like, there's tons of NFT projects on there. There's tons of meme coins on there. Obviously, it is kind of like a DeFi built chain, or like a DeFi specific kind of chain. It has the highest TPS, I think, of any chain out there. It's way higher than Solana even. They are the first parallelized EVM. And so it's kind of hitting all the right narratives, but I say 50 billion in market cap, which would put the FTV at like, if the current token supply stays the same, I'm sure there's some emissions. I would put the FTV at like 250 billion, way too high. Like, really, I don't think like any company that new should be at 250 billion. But honestly, in a bull market, this stuff doesn't even matter. The thing that people will look at is the price, and that would send the price to like $25 or something, $25 a coin, which is, you know, yeah, I mean, that's just that people look at round numbers and people look at the actual underlying price. So I think this is like hitting all of the check marks of like super hot narrative, super like, and the tech is good. The tech is good and very like culty community. You're already seeing tons of, just like very, very like strong kind of like vibrant community. And like, that's really what you need. Like, people that are just not going to sell, to get that kind of parabolic price action.
Is a core gravity of people who will not sell. That's all you need.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, yeah. So I think Say is the big winner, maybe even like just the first half of this year. I think Say like just rips super, super, super hard. Maybe it'll cool off now that it's just gone up so much, but I think it'll really rip. And then I think it will die down when Monad releases. I think it'll just take all the attention away, because it's kind of similar in structure and or like the tech is similar, and just new shiny thing. People will start airdrop farming and doing all this stuff on that chain. That's my second spiciest take. Say is the new Solana.
I mean,
not even that spicy. I don't even know if that's that spicy.
I don't know. I've been thinking Celestia is the new Solana.
Oh yeah, but, true, true.
I mean, I love parallelized EVM. I think that it makes a ton of sense, and it's better to have a parallelized EVM L1 than like a whole bunch of L2s doing the parallelization like on their own in like their own little worlds and then settling eventually down to Ethereum. I think like parallelized EVM makes a ton more sense. I like the narrative a lot. I like Neon as a result, right? Because they built the like EVM compiler thing that where you can deploy smart contracts written for the EVM onto Solana. And so it's kind of like similar.
Yeah.
I like Say, I like Monad. I think they're really cool projects. We should do some deep dives.
Yeah.
It feels like the price action has worked enough that it's like, you know, you look at like, okay, what recovers first when there's a dip, right? And say it just keeps on ripping every time there's a dip, people come in to buy it up. And whether that's just like organic demand or whether that's people that saw the previous dips or like, I know what happens here, is like debatable, right? But now it's locked in, right? Like everybody knows that that's the coin that rips hardest after a dip. And so people are just going to buy it. Yeah. I mean, I think it's a great prediction. I don't even know if Monad will touch it. Kind of depends on when they launch and it depends on what the token launch goes like.
Yeah.
But yeah, say to 25, let's go.
Say to 25.
You said it's a 50x if it happens.
Yeah. It's at like 59 cents, 60 cents. I don't know. That's the price from this morning.
It's only at like a bill or so in market cap. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. That's great. Can you buy it on Coinbase?
Yeah. I think it just got listed.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Say is at 59 cents. The market cap is 1.3 billion. Yeah, I have. I actually just bridged over. I tried to get, this is actually another thing that makes me bullish. I tried to do an NFT mint yesterday and it got either just got too much traffic or got botted so hard that you could basically not even access the website.
Wow.
I was like, whoa, this is insane. I haven't seen this in years.
That's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm bullish. I like it. All right. My my final prediction is perhaps my spiciest. I think Solana will have a bullish outage. So I think the chain will go down for like an hour or two and come back, and it'll pump, and Sol will pump really hard after. It's one of those things where sometimes in crypto, like you have to think counterintuitively, right? So like sometimes things happen and then you're like, this should be bearish, and then it pumps. And this is definitely one of them. I think right now we have this overhang of like, what happens if there's like a, you know, an outage in the chain, right? And this is something that people still harp on, even though the chain hasn't had an outage in like 10 months, right? I think that it's a little bit like when you're like skiing, if you like take a fall, then you're, once you take the first fall, you're a lot less nervous, right? You're like, oh, that wasn't so bad. I just got back up. And I think that's exactly what it will be like. I think that we have like a lot more eyes on the chain now. And from like an engineering perspective, we have a lot more resources focused on Solana. And I think the chain might go down for like an hour or two. Nothing crazy happens and the token pumps.
Yeah. I mean, we've seen this many times before. Most outages are quite bullish. Just because people look at, like, that's one of the, you can't sell. And then people look at it and they're like, okay, well, this was like the one concern with this chain is like, oh, it'll crash again. Or like, you know, it'll have an outage again. And then people see that happen. They're like, wait, what? Like nobody could sell. The price just went up. Nothing happened to my assets. Great. Game on. So,
it's the inverse of like, sell the news event, right? It's a buy the news event. So you have like, you know, like with the merge, it was like, okay, the one thing that we were worried about maybe not happening happened. Great. Nothing's in front of us. No bullish catalysts. Sell. Right. That's what people point out with the ETF as well, right? That like, if, you know, Bitcoin ETF gets approved, it's like, cool. Well, what's on the horizon for Bitcoin? Maybe I sell. Right. And you buy ETH, right? Because then the next catalyst becomes, you know, the ETH ETF, right? It's the same thing here, a bullish outage. Like people will realize that, oh, that wasn't so bad, and then they it de-risks.
Yeah. What could possibly happen now? Exactly. Yeah.
Another outage, like the last one pumped, so
All right, nice, I love it. Very spicy take. Okay, my spiciest take. Speaking of what could possibly happen, I think this whole restaking idea is maybe one of the worst ideas we've had in crypto in a long time. I think I mentioned this when we did our Eigenlayer deep dive, because I was not that familiar with the protocol when we first talked about it. So I was like, wait, what? Like, this is not really how it works, right? but I just think it's going to have a horrible, horrible collapse in some way. I don't know about if it's going to be Eigenlayer or what kind of restaking solution, but I think there will be some like black swan event that causes tons of people to lose tons of money. I don't know if it will be like some kind of protocol exploit where you're like restaking and you're using your ETH to like secure some other chain. And I don't know if it happens that way, or like the whole chain just kind of ponzies down and people lose a ton of their ETH and end up getting slashed or whatever the case may be. Honestly, like, I don't know what's going to happen. That's why it's a black swan event. I just hate the idea so much that and like even if you look at kind of the structure and you look at like incentives and things like that, like I just think it's basically you're like basically building a castle on very shaky ground. And
the incentive is to build higher, right? Like that
yeah, exactly. The incentive is to keep stacking. Yeah, exactly. And I actually do think like because of that, it'll get crazy high. Like I think some of these valuations will get, you know, stupid high. And there will be some event that causes one of these protocols to basically lose all of the funds that they had in the protocol, and it'll basically kill the idea.
I mean, I love this, right? I think you're 100% right. Basically, so to recap, the title that you had for this one in the notes was Eigenlayer Restaking is the New Luna.
Yes. Yeah. And so let me also add a caveat. I think, yeah, it goes crazy. Like, I think it'll probably get like whatever, 50 billion, 100 billion in TVL in aggregate in these protocols. Maybe even more. And honestly, like you look at stuff like Blast and you look at some of these other like basically closed end protocols where you just lock up your ETH for an indefinite period just to get some kind of yield that you have no idea about and possibly an airdrop. Like these things are getting like $1 billion in TVL in a few days. And we haven't even gotten to the actual craziness yet. And so people have this intense thirst for yield, risk-free yield. And basically in every situation that's been the case, it's ended horribly, horribly badly. I think that's the outcome we're looking at.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, I had actually thought, like, what is my prediction about Eigenlayer, like, for this episode? And I think this is the logical conclusion that, like, it'll get enormous and then blow up horribly. Now, Eigenlayer itself is too centralized to do that. But I think what'll happen is somebody will, like, fork it and deploy it with, like, less centralization and higher yield and more Ponzi-nomics.
Oh, and I think that's
how it'll happen. Because like Eigenlayer
forks.
Yeah. Like if your ETH gets slashed on Eigenlayer, like there's a council that can roll back the slashing or whatever. There's some, you know, academic committee of like whoever, right? And they can come in and unslash you. So I don't think that'll, but I do think there will be a slashing that is contentious on Eigenlayer itself. And I think at that point, the project fucking just probably dies, and everybody who wasn't already rotated into the better Ponzi will be rotated into the better Ponzi, which has like much more of a like algorithmic component to it, and more Ponzi-nomics. And I think that will explode and then implode. And it'll be really fun to watch. And all of my ETH will be staked in the only way I know how to lock up my ETH. Miladies.
I actually didn't even think about this, but another maybe this will be like honorable mention, but I think maybe Eigenlayer forks are the new Ohm forks.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. We'll see some really degenerate ones, you know.
You bond your staked ETH, so you're still earning yield while it's bonded.
Yeah. Huh. Interesting. All right. Wow. I like this. This is good. I think we have some hot takes here. Yeah. We'll revisit in a year and see if we went better than 2 for 10 or worse.
I'll take the under.
Yeah, I'll take the under. Yeah.
Look, I just wanted to say real quick, like, I don't know if you watched our like Spotify Wrapped for podcasters. We have some fucking super fans. Like, for a lot of people, this is their number one podcast. I mean, that's really cool. So I just want to say, like, thanks to our fans for like a really great year. Keep listening. Join the Telegram group. We have good discourse in there. And you know, stay decent.